All right, and we'll welcome everybody to our Wednesday night Bible study, January 18th. We are still in the book of Revelation, beginning chapter 7. So I'll just go ahead and read through the chapter, and then we'll go back and take a look at it specifically. Chapter 7, beginning with the first verse. After these things, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, "Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Asher, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 were sealed. And of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders, and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne, and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where do they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." And so he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Okay, so we're looking at two different groups. And as we look at the beginning of this chapter, we see these four angels getting ready to basically unleash judgment. That's what these winds really stand for, because we've already had the sixth seal, and when that seventh seal opens, we're going to have the seven trumpet judgments, and when that seventh trumpet blows, then we're going to have the seven bowl judgments. And so before they get ready to release these judgments, another angel, which would be a fifth angel, is saying, "Don't do it yet, because we need to seal these 144,000 individuals." And it says in verse 4, I think it is, "of all the tribes of the children of Israel." Now, it's interesting that we have certain religious groups, the Jehovah's Witnesses, for one. They will tell you that whenever the Jehovah's Witnesses religion started, I think it was 1914, that the first 144,000 Jehovah's Witnesses were these 144,000. And they get to go to heaven, and anyone that became a witness after that has to stay on earth, because these are the first 144,000. Then there are other groups that say, no, it's our religious people. However, it's pretty clear that it says of the children of Israel. And then you have these 12 tribes. You know, it goes to great lengths to tell you. Now, it's interesting the way they named these 12 tribes. The tribe of Dan is missing. And people think that one reason for this is because the tribe of Dan was the first tribe to start worshiping idols when they got to the promised land. You know, eventually almost all of them started worshiping idols and foreign gods and all this, but Dan was one of the first one. But look what they've done here.
Wait, before you go on, I have a question now. Yeah. Are we in the first half of the tribulation? Yeah.
That's a really good question. This is really tricky at this point. I'm thinking this is, it jumps ahead. It goes ahead, and then it comes back and gives you detail. Now, to me, these angels are starting to pour out these judgments. It sounds to me like it's probably right after the midpoint, perhaps, at this point.
Right, because up there in verse 16 of the chapter before, they want the rocks to fall on them, and it says, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who's able to survive?
Yeah.
So we would be, wouldn't it?
It could very well be the very first part of the second half.
Second
3.5 years. Because those first 3.5 years are peaceful until, you know, the Russia-Muslim coalition comes. And when they do, remember, God himself destroys them. And then all of a sudden, Israel, which was sitting there thinking they're in the millennial kingdom, they think, you know, they don't have any bars or walls up. They've totally disbanded their military. They're basically defenseless. Mm-hmm. And God saves them from being destroyed. And then they realize, we can't be in the millennium now. You know, it's not 1,000 years of peace. These people just tried to kill us. And then they realize who the Antichrist is. And then Satan is kicked out of heaven at this time. And he gives into the Antichrist. Then the Antichrist goes after the Israel people. And some of them remember Jesus' warning from Matthew 24, where he said, let the reader understand.
Yeah.
You need to leave. When you see the Antichrist set up this image in the temple, you need to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that did leave were protected, and they were actually protected and nourished for the last 3.5 years. Okay. Some of them didn't go, though, and they perished.
So you're saying now that where we're at right here, talking with these, you know, so this is going to be the
I think so, because they're holding back these judgments. Now, to me, the first four seals are not the wrath of God. But when starting with the trumpets, that's when you start to see the wrath of God. Because remember the fifth seal, the martyrs said, when are you going to avenge us?
Right.
When are you going to avenge our deaths? Because God hasn't done anything yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And then the sixth seal is when it says a great earthquake and the sun became dark by cloud.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right. Now, that earthquake, I think, would have been of God, you know, but the other four seals are what happens when man loses control.
Yeah.
You know, that's man's problem.
I just
so going back to the tribes, if you'll remember, when the Hebrew people were on the east side of the Jordan and they went over to the west side and they conquered all those peoples that were there. And God enabled them to do that. And then they divided up the land. Which tribe did not get any land?
Levi.
Tribe of Levi. And why was that?
Because they were priests.
Right. Their job was to take care of the temple. And so their allotment was right next to the temple. They had a little bit of land. It wasn't really an allotment. Just a little bit of land right outside the temple, because that was their job. They didn't farm it. They weren't shepherds. They didn't produce anything. And so they were dependent on the tithes from the other tribes to support them for what they did. Mm-hmm. But here, they're included, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, if you list everybody, you get actually 13, mm-hmm. because Joseph, who was the son of Jacob, had two grandsons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Mm-hmm. And usually when you see a list of the tribes, you don't see Joseph. Mm-hmm. You see Ephraim and Manasseh instead. And you don't see Levi because they didn't have any land allotments. So when you see the tribes back in the Old Testament and the land that they had, you don't see Joseph and you don't see Levi. Mm-hmm. But you do see Dan.
Mm-hmm.
But we think that Dan isn't listed here because, like I say, it was the first tribe to go into idolatry. And so to make up the difference, you have Joseph listed and then you have Levi.
His tribe ain't even gonna be sealed or anything here.
And Ephraim, okay, that would make Ephraim, that's the other thing I remember reading in this book. Ephraim too was like a very bad tribe as far as worshiping idols. And so again, those two, Ephraim and Dan, Ephraim and Dan were punished because of that. Okay, so obviously these 144,000 are sealed. They are supernaturally protected, and they are going to go about, especially during this second half, and they are going to be witnessing, and really nothing can stop them. That somehow, I don't know how, they're going to be supernaturally protected. They're going to be sealed. And if you go to chapter 14, it talks about them again. It says, chapter 14, the first verses, "Then I looked, and behold, a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written on their foreheads." That was the seal, the father's name. "And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, and the sound of a loud thunder. And I heard the voice of harpists playing their harps. They sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders." See, it always talks about us elders being there. "And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth." Okay, so Jay Vernon says that what this is talking about is that these 144,000 will be some of the first to populate the earth in the millennial kingdom. That's his take on that. I don't believe, I agree with him, they're not martyred because they're sealed. Okay, so they're going to be able to carry out their ministry all the way through the second coming and into the millennial kingdom. That's, I mean, I agree with what he said there. So this is the 144,000. They're like 144,000 Apostle Pauls running around witnessing, okay? But then we have a second group.
I have a question about the first group first.
Sure.
The 12,000 from each tribe, are they some of the first people from those tribes that were...
No, I just think it's of, you know, when the Israelites came back, when they all came back in 1948 and reestablished the nation of Israel, all these tribes, a lot of people said the 10 northern tribes were lost, but they weren't. There's scripture that talks about these tribes coming back. So there's representatives of each tribe. So whenever this takes place, probably the 12,000 best representatives of each tribe are the ones that are chosen, current people today.
Okay.
So then we have this was a second group. It says this, you have the great multitude, and it says of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues. We're talking about Gentiles here, okay? And it says they're standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands. What was I gonna say here? I like it here where it says in verse 13, "Then one of the elders," somebody from the church, "answered, saying to me, 'Who are these arrayed in white robes and where did they come from?' And I said to him, 'Search me.'" That's another way of saying it. "Sir, you know, tell me." So he says, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." So there were two waves of martyrs, and we found out in that fifth seal that the fifth seal were this first wave of martyrs, and they were the ones that came before the throne of God and said, "Lord, when are you going to avenge our deaths?" And he said, "You must wait a little longer until those just like you will come in."
Martyrs there that you're talking about there in verse 9 in chapter 6, those were martyrs too that were here on this earth and were killed for, weren't they? Aren't they?
Yeah.
Okay, that all includes them. Okay.
They say, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" And he says, "A white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brothers or brethren who would be killed as they were completed." So that would be this group right here. This is the second wave. They have been martyred. Now notice it says a huge number. And a lot of Bible scholars think that during the tribulation period, large numbers are going to be saved.
You just lost me. How did you lose me?
I don't know.
Back in 9:6, you're talking, they're martyrs right there, martyred for the word of God. Now, there have been people on this earth that were martyred because of their faith in God. Are those the ones that are there?
No, this is just happens during the tribulation.
Okay.
Just the ones during the tribulation.
And where's the ones, the ones that were martyred here and they just went to heaven?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
So this is just during the tribulation period.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jesus said that the road is wide, it leads to destruction, and very few, and a narrow path that leads to salvation, and very few find it.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't apply to tribulation. There's going to be multitudes get saved, and most of them are going to be martyred for their faith. And one of the reasons is they're going to see all these things happening, and they're going to have these 144,000 witnessing to them. And so every day, it's like, is this going to be my last day? You know, they say there are no atheists in foxholes because they're thinking this could be it.
Mm-hmm.
And some of you maybe remember, like, the day after 9/11, I remember people coming to me saying, we need to talk, you know, because nobody knew at that time, was there going to be more attacks? What's going to happen? You know, is this World War III or whatever's going on? People are very concerned. Well, this is going to be lots worse than that. And as they see these judgments starting to come and all this going on, all this persecution, every day these people have to make a decision. Am I going to, you know, I might die today. I don't really have to think about Jesus. I have to think about salvation. I have to think about what these scriptures are saying. Because the main reason people don't get saved today is they don't think about it. They're so distracted. And they think, I know in that one book where it talks about the demons getting together and talking and chatting about their strategy and how to keep people lost. And one of the ways was, we just make them think they have all the time in the world.
Yeah.
You know, that was their basic strategy.
And they believe, you
know,
that too.
And so, but these people are going to know, you know, is tomorrow going to be my last day?
But they're going to maintain their belief in Christ by their faith and faith only, because they are not saved by grace.
Well, that's my opinion. Now, of course, they're martyred. Probably, I don't know how much time they have to do that, but they're martyred, you know, and they, now some people, you know, go clear, they're able to stay underground or whatever,
yeah,
and make
mm-hmm.
it clear to the end. Now, that was one of the rabbit holes that you just opened up the rabbit hole.
Okay, here we go.
To me, what you said, I think is true, because we know that the church age is the age of grace.
That's right.
We know we're saved by grace through faith. It's our faith in God's grace.
Yes.
Okay. The reason that I feel that way is because of the parables in Matthew 25 and the sheep and goats judgment.
Yeah.
So let's just go there.
Okay.
All right. So we go to Matthew, all the way from Revelation to Matthew. The parables in Matthew 25, the timing is right before the second coming. Okay? And we're going to look at the parable of the 10 virgins.
Okay?
Now, before we read this, I want to let you know that oil in these parables, when you have oil as a symbol, it represents Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Okay. So, the kingdom of heaven shall be likened, and he's saying it's going to be this way right before the second coming. It's going to be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, this bridegroom would be Christ coming at his second coming. Now, five of them were wise and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So they had lamps with oil in them, but they didn't have extra oil, the foolish ones.
Mm-hmm.
The wise had their lamps and had extra oil. So the bridegroom was delayed, and they all slumbered and slept. At midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out."
Mm.
So they had oil in them. They had the Holy Spirit, but they didn't maintain the Holy Spirit. And so the wise said, "Well, if we give you ours, then there won't be enough for us, and they wouldn't share with them. Mm-hmm. And so when the bridegroom came, they were unprepared, and they were left out.
So five made it and five didn't. Correct?
Yes. And the five that didn't were not able to, they didn't have an adequate supply, supposedly, of the Holy Spirit. Now, the other interesting thing is, if you look at the sheep and goats judgment. It's 25.
Is it?
It's 25. Oh. Now, here's the interesting thing. It says there in verse 31. Matthew 25:31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, second coming, and all the holy angels with him, then he'll sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He's determining who is going to be cast into outer darkness and who's going to get to go into the millennial kingdom. Mm-hmm. And he will set the sheep on his right. The sheep are the good ones. The goats on the left, they're the ones that aren't saved. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then he goes, for or because I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. So he's saying, you are going to be able to go into the millennial kingdom because of these things that you did. And then he's going to tell the goats, you are not going to be able to go into the millennial kingdom because of these things you didn't do. So he is basing his judgment on what they did or what they did not do. Never before, when we're talking about the church, he doesn't do that. He doesn't say your works will save you.
Now, I have a note here, so...
I'm going out on a limb here. I understand that.
Well, what I mean is, because I write down stuff that mm-hmm. you have taught us. So when it says, I tell you the truth, in that same parable... I tell you the truth, when you did it to me, to the one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you was doing it to me. And I've got wrote here, that's the 144 Jews during the tribulation.
Oh, it could be. But basically, I mean, there's going to be so many people that are going to need protection. And so many people, you know, some are going to be martyred, but we don't know how long each person's going to be able to live till they finally catch up with them.
Right.
But it's going to be how, and now some people say he's talking about the Jewish people, how you treated the Jews, but it could be simply how you treat other people, other Christians, you know.
I just wrote that there, so we have talked about that before, apparently.
Yeah, could be that.
Doesn't Matthew talk, isn't that who he's talking to, is the Jews?
He's talking to the Jews. Of course, here... It could be, when he talks about Jesus, talking about his brothers, he could be talking about the Jews, or he could be talking, he calls us brothers too.
Yeah.
And we're Gentiles. Okay. So I can't say for sure.
Okay.
But the point is, he is judging them according to what they're doing.
Yes.
That means this judgment is for the people in the tribulation time?
The people who somehow make it through alive through those 7 years and don't die because of the judgments, don't die because they're killed for their faith, somehow they physically make it through. And so after the second coming, he takes all these people and he judges them, and the sheep are able to go into the millennial kingdom as mortal people. I mean, they don't go to heaven. They stay on the earth as mortals. They're going to have kids and everything else, and they're going to experience 1,000 years of peace. The goats are going to be cast.
Again.
They're born again. Yeah, yeah. They are saved.
Yes,
so
saved.
We're already, this is not
no,
us.
This ain't us.
What I just read to you is right before. It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory. So that's at the second coming, right before the millennial kingdom is set up.
Okay, when the millennial kingdom is set up, where are we?
We are in the New Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. We are in the New Jerusalem.
We're not part of the earthly millennial kingdom.
Well...
But that's where he was saying we could go back and forth.
A lot of people think that the tribulation saints, the ones martyred, the Old Testament saints too are going to be resurrected at about this time. Many of them think they're going to be on the earth like full time, but we will be able to go back and forth from the New Jerusalem, which is the home of the church, and we will be able to help Christ
Because we'll be doing the raining.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, that's yeah. what I, that's what my research says. Yeah. Okay. Again, this is deep
well, stuff. I have another question. Yeah. And it's a deep one.
Okay.
And it may be a rabbit trail. It may not be one. Even
I like rabbits. Let's go.
Yeah.
Will we know each other?
I think so. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll know each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that verse
yeah.
where it says we will know them as we have known them? What's that?
Yeah, I don't know
where
it is, but I think that, yeah. I don't see any reason.
I think it's in Peter.
I think we'll see pets in heaven. I really do. I think we'll see.
Oh, my gosh.
I really do.
I've never known if I mean, I didn't really think we would see pets that we knew, but I always thought that, I mean, my dad is like,
there are no animals in heaven.
Yes, there are. I think they're all
you know, animals have emotions. I saw this week, somebody put a video, maybe some of you saw it, of a cat, and it was looking, somebody had like a notebook-sized computer, and this cat's owner had passed away, and they had a video of the owner. And that cat's looking at that screen for a few moments, and its tail's twitching, and it kind of turns its head sideways. And then it just takes its head and it puts it down on the screen and takes its paw and hugs the screen.
Oh.
It is the saddest thing. But, you know, they really do feel, you know, those
emotions.
Those emotions.
They don't have the same kind of intelligence that we have. They do.
Yeah.
Well, I think God can recreate that. They don't have a soul.
That's why I don't know if it'll be the exact same pets or if it'll just be animals. But.
Right. Whatever, it's going to be interesting.
We get things here on heaven to or earth to enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
He's gave us animals and we enjoy them. Why not when he had those in heaven for us to enjoy also?
Sure. I don't think he's limited.
Right. Well, here's a thought. This is I've heard this. That okay, so it says there in John 14 that you know that our Father has many mansions. So in your mansion, He's going to put in your mansion everything that He knows that you like. I believe that. So you know, like with my Annie, I believe He's going to recreate her.
It's going to be custom made
because He can.
It's going to be custom made.
He's going to be custom made, and so because He loves us so much, He's going to put in there everything that you like and more. That's what I think.
And that's just fine.
Isn't that a lovely thought?
That's a lovely thought. I like that. I like that. Okay, so to review, we've got two groups. We have the 144,000 sealed, and we found out that they're sealed. The Father's name is that seal. We found that out in chapter 14. 12 tribes represented, without Dan and Ephraim. And then we have the second group, which would be a multitude of Gentiles. And all of these particular ones in this group were martyred, and they're up. And it talks about, talks about the throne of God, but it also talks about the temple. Yeah, there it is. Verse 15. They are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. Now remember that in the New Jerusalem, there's not going to be a temple. The reason being that there's not going to be a sun to shine on New Jerusalem either because He's the light and He's going to be there dwelling with us. But to me, I visualize it this way, there's heaven, but then there's also the New Jerusalem. And we're told when the Israelites first built the tabernacle and then they built the temple, that it was a copy of the real one in heaven. And so we know that there is a temple in heaven, if you think of God's throne being there at this temple in heaven. The New Jerusalem, however, will not have a temple. It's going to be a totally separate place only for the church.
Is that the description then later on in Revelation about it being this square and this is the walls made of this and that? Is that what
now that's a description of the New Jerusalem.
New Jerusalem. Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, I'm confused, but okay.
Okay. Well, if you're confused, it's a good time to quit. a lot of this...
Well, the temple is what you got
confused. Well, I just want to throw that out there. But, you know, a lot of this, as we go on, is going to start making more sense. But the hardest part is the timing. Trying to figure out...
Hmm.
the timing of everything.
And these, this thing, the Revelation doesn't go like in sequence. I mean,
well,
you know what I'm saying?
You have, now, it goes in sequence in the sense that one seal follows another seal, yeah, and one trumpet right. follows another trumpet, and one bowl follows another bowl.
Yeah.
But it does jump ahead and then goes back and picks up detail.
Yeah, that, yeah.
I call them flashbacks.
Right, because here it says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.
And he's now, talking to these that had been martyred
okay,
and but, had and they had had it rough on the earth. They were being persecuted and everything. So, basically, he's saying, I'm going to comfort you. You're not going to be crying anymore. You're not going to be persecuted anymore. You're not going to be martyred for your faith anymore. I'm going to comfort you and
okay,
wipe
yeah,
away
because,
those tears.
Because there in chapter, 22, that's when he says, and God will wipe away all tears from their eyes.
Well, let's look. We see it twice.
Yeah. That's why.
Let's see.
No, it's 21. I'm sorry. 21, verse 4. And he will wipe away, he will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death.
Okay, so basically he's saying from here on out, everything's going to be great, and it's not going to be
right,
any,
so
any sorrow.
This, so that's what I was wondering.
So
if
it applies
this is transferring.
To, it applies to both groups, you know,
okay.
apparently. Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, we just ask that you be with us this evening. We thank you for this. Thank you for this study. And as we move on, we just pray that you will reveal these things to us so that we can understand them better and be able to become better Christians even because of it. In Jesus' name, amen.